Baruchim Abraham, everybody. This is Rabbi Applebaum tonight giving the shiur on our Monday night Parsha class. It's for Parshas Shemini, and today's date is Chav Dalet Nisan Tavshin Pei Aleph, corresponding with the English calendar, April 5th, 2021. Just to help you remember with Sfira, last night's Sfira was the 8th Omer, and please count the Sfira appropriately tonight. Another little announcement is that this coming Shabbos will be Shabbos Mevorachim. There'll be a blessing the new month of Iyar, and there'll be Rosh Chodesh on this coming Monday and Tuesday. So let's begin the parasha. Parashas Shemini begins with the following pasuk: Vayhi Vayom Hashmini. It was on the 8th day. Korah Moshe LaAharon ulaVonav. Moshe called Aharon and his sons ulaZikna Yisrael and all of the Zikna Yisrael, and they were now to make the final inauguration of the Mishkan. And actually, this is a continuation of last week's parasha, Parashas Tzav, where all of the Bnei Yisrael miraculously were able to fit in front of the Ohel Moed to watch the proceedings. Rashi says that there was a miracle where the area which was really impossible to hold the entire Klal Yisrael was made to fit, and it was, as Chazal term it, the terminology is that the Muad was Machzik the Meruba. The small area was able to hold the large crowd, Al Pinei, so they can all see the inauguration of the Mishkan. So this week's parasha begins with the 8th day, where Aaron is finally going to become the official Kohen Gadol, with, of course, the help of Moshe. And from there on, he will be continuing on with the Avodah with his children as the Kohen Gadol for Klal Yisrael. Rashi says that day, Yom HaShmini, was also Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It was Rosh Chodesh Nisan that the Mishkan was set up to become permanent. Rashi continues and he says, "Vanato asara atorais." There were 10 crowns given on that day, Hashnuyos b'Seder Olam, that were mentioned in the Sefer Seder Olam. What were the 10 crowns? Vehein, and they were, the first one was the Maisa Bereshis, the creation of the world. The second was the Chadashim, it was Rishon for the months of the year. It was Rishon for the Nisim, they brought their Korbanos, the Kahuna, it was the first for the Kohanim working, the Avoda, it was the first for bringing korbanos. The Yeridas Ha'esh, it was first for the lowering down the fire from heaven. The Achilas Kotchim, to eating the holy meat of the korbanos. The Isar Harbamos, a prohibition of any Jew sacrificing their own korban in their home, in their backyard, or in their residence, other than in the Mishkan. Lishkan Shechina b'Yisrael, the ninth, is to have the holiness of Hashem rest in Klal Yisrael on that day. And finally, the last of the 10 is Levoriches Yisrael, to bless the Jewish people. Apparently, we have a question over here that should bother all of us. How could the first one of the 10 crowns of that mentioned in the Seder Olam be Maisa Bereshis, where we're talking about The other nine were something that took place that day. Maaseh Bereishis happened approximately 2,500 years before. Yet, it's brought down that Maaseh Bereishis was done on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. How do we understand that? It's a very difficult thing to say when we know the reality is that it happened way, way before. I am bringing down this information from the Sefer Nisivos Shalom, who explains this whole scenario and goes into various details that are very enlightening. So he brings down from the Sefer Kedushas Levi that we have a well-known machlokes, a disagreement between two Tanoim in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah. There's a disagreement between Rabbi Yehoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yehoshua holds that the world was created on Nisan, and Rabbi Eliezer holds that the Maaseh Bereishis took place on Tishrei. So how do we explain this? If it took place on Nisan, what is the argument between the two depend on? It depends on at the time of Maaseh Bereishis, 2,500 years ago, when this all took place, or there is a deeper meaning when this machlokes is now becoming relevant to the point where the ten great things are happening on Nisan. How do we explain that? So the Kedushas Levi explains over here that what had happened was that the world finally came to its tachlis, true. It's that the world was created in Tishrei. However, Rabbi Yehoshua, that argues on Rabbi Eliezer, says, but the world came to its perfection, to its tachlis, to its purpose, only on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan was finally built and the Korbanos were brought and the Shekhinah rested in the Jewish people. Let me read you what he mentions over here that's very relevant. He says over here from Kedushas Levi, the Bechlal Nisan by Nivra HaOlam Hu. It's really inclusive that in the month of Nisan, the world was created. Why? Because it was also the day of Hakamas HaMishkan, when the Mishkan was erected, which was in Echad B'Nisan. That was the first day of Nisan. Shebiyom Hazeh, in this day, Niskaima Tachlis HaBriya. The purpose of the creation of the world finally came to its peak. Ba'asher tachlis ratzon ha'elyon b'chol ma'aseh habriya, he commanded Amar b'Medrash. The purpose of creating the world is what the Medrash tells us. Shenis'ava HaKadosh Baruch Hu liyos le'dira b'tachtonim. Hashem had desired to have a dwelling place down in this world. V'hatachlis hazayis niskayma v'hakamas ha-mishkan be'echad v'nisan. And this tachlis, this purpose, would finally come to fruition with the setting up of the Mishkan in Echad v'nisan. Then, asher oz oyal shikan ba'odam v'yorda shechina l'shreis v'hatachtenim. Then finally the Shechina was settled down on this world and was able to rest among Klal Yisrael. And this is Niskaima Tachlis Ritzono Yisborach B'Maaseh Bereishis. This is what Hashem's intention was when he created the world. As we all know the famous Pasuk, Vasuli Migdash Vishakanti Besaichem. Therefore, says the Kedushas Levi, that we have this machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yehoshua. That's true that the world physically came into being during the month of Tishrei. However, the world came to its perfection, to its tachlis, according to Rabbi Yeshua, was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that resolves this disagreement between the two. But we have to recognize that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with the intention that he would have a Mishkan in this world for his holiness to rest. And that came about during Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan was established by Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon. So this explains our question about how come the Seder Olam mentions that the first of the ten crowns was Brias HaOlam. And the answer is because it finally came to its tachlis. And until then, the world wasn't considered completely finished and established and made permanent. Well, if this is the case, we understand why Rosh Chodesh Nisan is a very special and very happy day. However, as the Sefer Nisiva Shalom brings down, a very interesting question. If this has been such a happy day, why does the Pasuk begin, Vayehi Bayom Hashmini? It's well known that the word Vayehi is always a reflection to something sad, something troubling. We have Vayehi by the Megillah. It also begins with the word Vayehi. It was a sad time for the Jewish people. Whenever it says the word Vayehi, it's always something sad. So what was sad? What happened? This was the height of the perfection of the creation of the world. Why does it say Vayehi by Yom HaShmini? And therefore, there is an interesting Rashi. And Rashi relates that there was something sad or something troubling. Because the Rashi mentions the following. Rashi mentions that there was feelings of hurt at the time when Aaron was going to bring the korban. Rashi says, on the pasuk, Vayavai Moshe va'Aaron el oyel mayet, when Moshe and Aaron came to the oyel mayet, it says the following, Kivun shiroa Aaron shekorvo kohar korbanos. Aaron saw he brought all the korbanos to complete the inauguration. V'nasu kohar ma'asim, he did all the necessary deeds that had to qualify for his service in the Mishkan. V'lo yarda shechina l'Yisrael, and the holiness, the divine presence didn't settle after he finished his work on the Jewish people. Hayu metzta'er, he was very upset. He was in pain. V'amar, and he said, Yodea ani, I do know, shekoas HaKadosh Baruch Hu alai, that Hashem is angry with me. Ubishvili lo yarda shechina l'Yisrael, and it's because of me that the divine presence has not rested on the Jewish people. Amalei l'Moshe, Aaron speaks to Moshe the following words, Moshe achi, my brother Moshe, kach asiso li, this is what you made me do. Shenichnasti, you made me come into the Mishkan and nizbayashti, and you caused me to be put to shame. And when Moshe heard these words, Miyad nichnas Moshe imo ubikshu rachamim. Immediately Moshe came in and to the Ohel Moed, to the sanctuary, and begged Hashem for mercy to lower the Shekhinah, the Yard of Shekhinah Yisrael. And the divine presence was lowered down, and everyone got to see it at that time. And that's what it means in the Pasuk, Vayava Moshe Ve'aharon. Moshe and Aharon came inside, and he caused the Shekhinah to come down. So we have to understand, this is the meaning of the Vayehi. And it was in this most momentous, happy, and joyous moment where the Mishkan was set up. And the world came to its completion. But at this time, there was sadness, the sadness of Aaron. He felt that the Shekhinah did not come down as a result of him having made the ego. But not only was he put to shame, but also the Jewish people were put to shame. Why? Because they watched for 7 days how the Mishkan was built, constructed, and taken apart, and how Aharon went ahead and did the service with the Korbanos. And throughout the whole time, they did not see the Shekhinah come down. And now finally, at the 8th day, they were hoping it finally will descend on the Mishkan, and it didn't. So not only was Aaron put to shame, did he have busha, that embarrassment that the Bnei Yisrael were involved with the Egel Azov? Not only Aaron was ashamed, but the Jewish people were ashamed at the same time. So the question right now is, if this was what had happened, well, why was it necessary to have Aaron and the Jewish people have busha, have shame? It's reflected in the first word, Vayihi Bayom Hashmini. Why was it necessary? So the Nesivah Shalom brings down a great commentary by the name of Reb Chaim Vital. Reb Chaim Vital is the student of the Rizal. We're familiar with the Rizal, was a big Kabbalist, a person who was well known in the Torah world. And Reb Chaim Vital deals with this question, and he explains why was it necessary to have busha at this time. Because he brings down the following. When the pasuk says Moshe, when Vayomer Moshe al Aharon karav al hamizbeach, go and come close to the mizbeach. Chazal tell us at that time Aaron was very embarrassed to come because he saw the demus ego, the image of the ego, the one that he created. Va'amalei Moshe, and Moshe said, why are you embarrassed to do the avoda? Lekach nivcharta. Now, there's two ways of explaining the words lekach nivcharta. I mean, you are a kohen. You are made a kohen. Well, the service is to do the work. So do the work. Why are you embarrassed to do this work? So that would be on a simple meaning. But Reb Chaim Vital says no. He says, you are created because you are embarrassed. Listen to the depth of his answer. He says, because you're embarrassed, therefore you are chosen. Your being embarrassed right now gave you the license to now do the work in the Mishkan and to make the Shekhinah come down. It was the embarrassment that Hashem wanted to see you have at the time. This is an unusual way of explaining the pasuk, but this is what has happened, that the shar, the gateway of bringing korbanos, should come and will come through busha, through being embarrassed or being judging your behavior, and you feel insignificant and you feel unworthy, and it brings you to Busha. And that is what Hashem wanted you to go through right now. Because you have made the ego and you were chosen as the Kohen Gadol, Hashem was waiting for this moment of Busha. So in order for you to now qualify of being as a Kohen Gadol to act in the Mishkan and to bring down the Holy Shekhinah. This is how Reb Chaim Vital explains the situation. Now, the Rebbe from Solonim, it goes beyond, and he explains the following. He says, the Hakamas HaMishkan, right, needed that tshuva. But the truth of the matter is, to bringing Kedusha in a Mishkan could be one of two ways. It could be one of elevating yourself to a very, very high level. When the Bnei Yisrael were at Har Sinai, they rose in a very high spiritual level. And because of their great level, they were able to bring down the Shekhinah to Har Sinai. And when a person rises with his level higher and higher, he is able to bring Shekhinah down. And if he feels that he is unworthy because he has done sins, averus, and he feels very insignificant and embarrassed of what he has done, that would be a second way of bringing the Shekhinah down. And therefore, since Aaron was the one who put together the Egel Hazav, so therefore, only one who could have brought down the Shekhinah, according to how the Nesiva Shalom is explaining, Moshe Rabbeinu could not have brought down the Shekhinah without the Busha of Aharon. In other words, that there are two ways, and I mentioned it before, but let me quote what he's saying. The Yesh Beis Drachim Lahamshech Hashroes HaShekhinah. There are two ways to draw the Shekhinah down to this world. Heim Beis Drachim Bavodas Hashem. And with this, there are two ways of serving Hashem. Haderech Shel Hakara Begadlus HaBorei. The first way of recognizing Hashem's greatness, Ka'asher Yehudi Oisig Ba'avodas Hashem Yitzbarach, as a Jew is occupied serving Hashem in a very uplifted and uncompromising way. He's devoted with his heart and his soul in serving Hashem, whether it's through learning Torah, whether it's through davening, whether it's doing certain mitzvahs. He is totally dedicated and devoted. There is no doubt about his commitment. He is capable of bringing the Shekhinah down. Right? Then this is one way of doing it. V'haderech shel shiflus atzmai. There is a second way through shiflus, by feeling subdued, feeling lowered by the averus that a person has done. And by doing that, you create holiness in your neshama. We know that there is a pasuk in Tehillim that says, Lev nishba v'nitka elokim lo sivze. Hashem does not despise a broken and beaten heart, a heart that has been smitten, a heart that feels upset and pained for doing averus, has the power of bringing down the Shekhinah. And therefore, this is what was happening at the time where Aaron HaKohen was experiencing the shame because of his bringing or making the ego. And even though we all know the story, it was totally not his fault, and it happened because of a magician by the name of Micha who threw in the slab of gold into the fire that Aaron was hopefully going to delay the making of the eagle, but because of the magical force of Micha, that the magician out popped out this eagle Azov, totally unexpected and without Aaron having any control. But the end result was that somehow, some way, Aaron is given the credit, or use the word the discredit, of having made the eagle. And he is mortified. He is very troubled. And he sees that the Shekhinah is being delayed because of him. All this is what Hashem wants to see. And because of this, Hashem has lowered down the Shekhinah down to the Mishkan. And as a result, the Korbanos were burned and the Jewish people finally reach that wonderful moment of simcha, of seeing Hashem's presence rest among them. There is a beautiful mashal, Nesiva Shalom explains, that this is compared to putting a seed in the ground, and when you take the seed, we all know it gets rotten, falls apart, and nothing would be able to grow out of the seed in your mind. If you looked at the seed, what it looked like, the seed literally falls apart and becomes rotten, and but yet there's a spark of life that suddenly is created after it suddenly disintegrates in the ground, and out of that seed comes a wonderful plant, whether it's a vegetable, or whether it's a tree, or whatever. This seed, after becoming almost nothing, after it disintegrates into nothing, becomes a tree. It becomes a tree with life, a tree with many, many fruit that have seeds in it, and that could be replanted and be made into many other trees, which is miraculous. But what had to happen? What had to happen was that the seed had to fall apart, had to disintegrate, and look like nothing. And then suddenly, Hashem put the spark of life into that rotten seed, and out comes a tree. This is exactly what happened over here. Aaron had busha. Hashem was waiting for that busha. And now that Hashem saw his busha, and the Shekhinah was able to come down. And therefore, we are able to understand now why the parasha begins with the word Vayehi. Vayehi b'yom hashmini. It was a sad moment for Aharon and for the Jewish people when everything seemed to be finished and no Shekhinah did not descend. But once Hashem saw the busha, the koyach of busha, was able to bring down the Shekhinah. We see a marvelous thing from over here. We see over here that there are two ways of bringing the Shekhinah into a Jewish home. We know that the famous pasuk of Va'asu li migdash v'shachanti b'socham is also not just then, but it's relevant to us today. That's right, thousands of years later. Our homes are our Mishkan. What we do with our Mishkan and how we conduct ourselves in our Mishkan makes a world of a difference to the Shekhinah, to the holiness that resides in our Mishkan. If we do our best to serve Hashem and to do mitzvahs and to learn Torah on the level that we are capable, and we strive always to get better and bigger, we are not complacent. We're always looking to grow. And Hashem knows that. And there is shalom bayis with our spouses and there is peace and harmony, that we live according to the dictates of the Torah, then we are following the first bit of advice. To bring Shekhinah is through godliness, through greatness, growing, through growth, to try achieve more and more. Naturally, the Shekhinah of old is not going to be the Shekhinah of our homes today. But there is a certain resemblance. There'll be a certain connection to the kind of Shekhinah that used to be, because Hashem is waiting to make every home a home that's a Mishkan. So as long as we try to make our home into a sanctuary by growing and following the halacha as much as we can, and when we finish one level, we look to grow a little more and a little more, then we're making our home into a Mishkan, into a holy place where we and our families are residing. But we are all human, and we fail many times, and we do have avers. What should our reaction be? Then the second reaction is busha. We should feel regret. We should feel, if it's a really bad thing that we feel that we have done, we should be remorseful. We know that part of doing tshuva, part of doing tshuva is to be remorseful, charata, to regret what we have done. But don't think that the regret is overlooked. The regret is part of bringing in the Shekhinah. If a person regrets what he has done wrong, this is something that the Goyim don't have. They don't have this concept of tshuva that we have, which is a mitzvah. If we have regret and we are remorseful and we are embarrassed of the things that we might have done wrong, then you know what? We are preparing our Mishkan for the Shekhinah. The Atzuli Migdash V'Shachanti B'Sochem still applies. It applies to a home that is in the state of growth, because if a person has busha on what he has done, what he's essentially saying is that I want to get back on the road. I want to start doing things correctly. I want to grow. I want to achieve. I want to aspire to higher levels. So it's the busha that we might experience that is so advantageous to making our homes into a Mishkan. This is very important, and we actually daven every day this. Hashiveinu avinu l'serasecha, v'korveinu malkinu l'avodasecha, v'hachazireinu b'tshuva shalema l'fenecha. We say this in our davening. We ask Hashem to return us back, right, to Torah, because if you learn Torah, then we have the ability of davening better and then doing tshuva. Then immediately after that, we say, Slach lanu avinu kichatanu. That's all part of the tshuva process. And it's so, so important, and it's so powerful. And if this can't be done, then you can't imagine how much could be accomplished. And therefore, this parsha of Parsha Shemini is laying the groundwork for us today, thousands of years later, of making it possible for our homes to have a Shekhinah. Because the way to grow is the way to follow Aaron HaKohen. Follow what he did. If we did something wrong, then we have to regret, and we have to have busha, and we have to try to make amends. Now, if a person, let's say, has busha, busha is a tremendous kapara. I remember myself when I was a bocha in yeshiva. My Rosh Hashiva criticize something that I have done. And I went over to the Rosh Hashiva and I tried to explain to him, but the Rosh Hashiva, I really didn't do this. I think the Rosh Hashiva misunderstood me. So Rosh Hashiva said, you know what? It's very important to know that busha is a kapara. I'm sorry that you felt that way, but accept the busha as a kapara, as an atonement. But it's coming for something, so accept it as an atonement. It's a very important thing that if we have busha, we should utilize it and make it powerful, make it useful. Don't let it just evaporate and disintegrate into thin air. Utilize the busha by saying, let this busha come for and atone for whatever it's for. And I heard in the name of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the great Rebbe and Tzaddik in Yerushalayim, who is considered one of the greatest Talmidei Chachamim today in the world, that if a person wants a bracha from anybody who is capable of giving a bracha, he should look for the person who was embarrassed in public and has not responded to the embarrassment. Because such a person has the power of giving bracha like you can't imagine. If a person needs parnasa, a person that needs children, a person has other issues that are very painful, find a person who has been embarrassed and did not respond to his embarrassment, but walked away, and he gulped his pride and he just ignored the situation. That person has the power to change nature. And there are stories about that, where people who couldn't have children and had children, they went over to somebody who was embarrassed in public, begged the person not to respond. He was totally innocent and he wasn't put to shame, and he kept his mouth quiet. And then the person said, I beg you to give me a blessing, I need children. And that year they had children. There is something to that. And if I may be so bold enough to tell you, you're saying this at the end of Shemona Esrei. At the end of Shemona Esrei, it says the following words, Elokai Netzol Sheni Meira, Hashem, guard my tongue from evil, Utsvasai Medaber Mirma, and my lips from slander, from trickery, V'lem Kalalai, and here's the punchline, V'lem Kalalai Nafshi Sidayim, and for those who curse me, my soul shall be silent, V'Nafshi Kafor Lakol Tiyah, and my soul should be like the dust of the earth to everyone. Now that is a very, very important statement. What we are saying in the Shemona Esrei is giving us advice that keeping quiet is a tool for, first of all, personal success, where a person will not instigate or create a rebellion between him and the person who he is upsetting. But furthermore, he is now given the power from Shemayim that whoever he blesses will be blessed and come true. So busha has its advantages. When a person accepts the busha, not only is it only tshuva, but it also gives him spiritual power that he can help others. At any rate, the Torah is telling us, and let's just summarize over here, Pastor Shmini tells us over here that the Mishkan was one of the first, was the thing that created a permanence in the world. That's why it's the first thing of the 10 Ataros, the 10 crowns that the world was blessed with on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because the world came to its completion by the building of the Mishkan. And if we want that our home should resemble a Mishkan, then first and foremost, we have to strive on our level to grow in Torah and Yerushalayim and do the best we can, and then we bring Kedusha into our home that way. And if we fail that we have been shortcoming in certain mitzvos, and we feel the embarrassment and the remorseful reaction of not having lived up to our responsibilities, then that is the second tool that will help you bring the Shekhinah into your home. And with that, Klal Yisrael will be blessed with homes all over the world that have the Shekhinah of the Almighty rest in their homes. And we should all be zocha this coming week to a wonderful week where the Shekhinah will reside in every one of our homes. Have a wonderful week. Come Kol Tov.